Welcome, everybody. You are now listening to the Monique Rodriguez, the Secret Sauce to Success podcast show. Well, I will be sharing tips on business, being a God-fearing wife, a mom, an entrepreneur, and I'm also going to do a few boss interviews on this podcast show. So thanks so much for tuning in. Be sure to download and subscribe to my podcast show because you are in for a treat. So welcome everyone to another episode of the Secret Sauce to Success podcast show where I am your host, Monique Rodriguez. And today I want to talk to you guys about protecting your business. I get a lot of questions all the time through my Secret Sauce membership and also the Secret Sauce Academy on how do you protect your business? Should you trademark in the beginning? Should you create your LLC first? Like, what comes first and how do you trademark? And is trademarking something that you can do on your own, or do you actually need to hire an attorney to trademark your logo or your brand name? And that's another question. Should you trademark your logo as well in addition to your brand name? You can trademark as many things as you like that is related to your business. So we have quite a few trademarks under the MyYell umbrella. So you don't just have to stick to one trademark. So I decided to reach out to one of my Instagram friends, Rosina, who is a business attorney and trademark lawyer, and she's also from Chicago. So you know I rep Chi-Town all day. And I had to bring her in to do this interview because I feel that it will be very beneficial to my listeners. A lot of people ask me, when did I trademark? Honestly, I did not trademark until 6 months later. Was that the right thing to do? Probably not, but I didn't know any better. So again, this platform is for me to help teach you and for you to learn from mistakes that I've done with starting my business so you won't make some of the same mistakes. So just a little bit about Rosina Pierce. She is a Chicago native. She's an entrepreneur, and she's very passionate about educating her clients and coming alongside of them and providing trademark legal services to protect their brand and the value of their artistry and business. Rosina loves working with people in the beauty industry and small business owners. Some of her clients consist of hip-hop recording artists, stylists, salon owners, restaurant owners, fashion designers, artists, managers, music producers, photographers, videographers, and many more. To date, her firm has filed over 500 trademark applications, overcame tons of trademark refusals, and fights vigorously on behalf of her clients against infringers. Rosina is a proud member of the Chicago Bar Association, Intellectual Property Law Association of Chicago, and the Black Entertainment and Sports Law Association. So without further ado, let's get into this interview.
I thank you so much for taking time out of your day to record this podcast for my listeners, because I've been following you for a while and I've met you at a few different networking events, and we've always came into contact. We've always been very friendly to each other. And I get a lot of questions from a lot of my followers and also a lot of my mentees about like trademarking and if I can refer someone that can help like a startup small business with trademarking and like the legalities and protecting their business. So I've always been referring you. Like, I don't know if you know it or not, but I just send them over to you. And I reposted your, yeah, no problem. I reposted your, something you posted on Instagram. I had reposted it on my story, and like people were like, thank you so much for this. And I'm like, you know, as long as I can be helpful and provide value to my audience, that's what, you know, makes me happy. And that's what my goal is. So that's why I wanted to reach out to you, just to give my listeners some value and educate them on like protection of their business and trademarking, because that's such a common question. So before we get into all of that, can you just tell my listeners a little bit about Rosina and who you are? Like, where do you come from? Like, I want to know about you.
So I am from Chicago. I lived on the west side of Chicago all of my life up until July 2017. I decided to relocate me and my family to a suburb, and in the surrounding areas of Atlanta, Georgia. I'm a wife, I'm a mother. So me and my husband, we have, that grade school type of situation where like, you're going to be my girlfriend. And I was like, no, I'm not. And somehow I'm the man's wife today. So I guess it's, we met in like grade school, but you know, we have, it took a while because I didn't go with him until he went to high school, but I made him wait a long time. But we have our three kids, and my oldest son is 17 years old, so he'll be going into his senior year next year. So I'm excited about that and just trying to get him ready for college. He's taking ACT Saturday. So I'm just, I'm a wife, a mother, a child of God, a daughter, and an entrepreneur. So yeah, and a lawyer.
See, your story sounds very similar to mine. You know, me and my husband, we've known each other since I was 12. But same here with you. Like, I didn't like him at first, and it took me a while to even start dating him. We didn't start dating until I was 16. Like, all throughout high school, I didn't talk to him, and we ended up dating my last year of high school. He had already graduated, so all those 4 years that he was there, or I'm sorry, 3.5 years that we were in high school together, like, we didn't even like each other. And somehow, like, we ended up being married. So it sounds very similar. But I didn't know you had three kids, though. And a 17-year-old? Wow.
Wow. Yes. I have a 17-year-old. My daughter will be 14, June 21st. And then I have my baby girl. She's a law school baby. She came my last semester of law school, the day after my birthday. And I was just like, the devil is a lie. I got to wrap this situation up. Because everybody was like, so are you going to take off after you have the baby? Like, I was like, no. I missed one week of school the week she was born. And I had a C-section with her. She was born September 11th. I was back in class September 18th. My professor, he was like, go home. And I was like, are you going to give me an A? And he was like, I can't do that. I was like, well, you can't tell me to go home then.
Wow. Yeah, girl, we have a lot in common. I had no idea. So when I had Mia when I was in nursing school. And the day after I went home from the hospital, I went right to clinicals and went to class. And all of the students and my teacher was like, why are you here? And I remember crying because, you have to take your infants for their appointment like the next day once they go home. I felt so bad that I couldn't take her, and I was going to have my mom take her. So my teacher ended up letting me leave to take my daughter to the doctor, and I felt so much better. But very similar stories. Wow, that's amazing. It's amazing how much you find out you have in common with someone once you actually start talking.
exactly.
but that just shows like you being driven and determined, because like nothing's going to stop you. So, which brings me to my next question, like, what even made you want to go into law?
So it's so funny because my daddy, being that I'm from Chicago, he's here in Atlanta with me now, just to visit for a vacation. But my father was a big inspiration of me becoming a lawyer, because my mom worked for a hospital. She worked for UIC, so a state institution. And my dad, although he was not like the clean-cut person, somehow he got a job as an investigator at a law firm, a criminal law firm. And so, when the kids are out of school, but, your mom still has to go to work, my father had, like, a flexible type of work situation environment where he can take me to work with him. And that's what happened. I remember being 5 years old going to the law firm with him, and I didn't really understand what was going on. And then also too, because it was a criminal law firm, I would end up on 26th in California at the courthouse.
Wow.
I was like, I don't know what these people are doing to him, but whatever they're doing, I want to be a lawyer. And it's so funny because my godfather, who was my father's boss, but also my father's best friend, an Italian man, his wife at the time was a buyer for Marshall Fields. And so I was just like, either I'm going to do what Uncle Sammy is doing, or I'm going to do what his wife is doing. And so I just I just remember being in a courtroom and like just seeing all these people like move around in these suits and things like that at a young age. And I was just like, I want to do that, you know? And even though like I'm from the west side of Chicago, I'm from Lawndale, it was just being sitting in the courtroom that impacted me at such a young age. As early as 5, I was just like, I had my mind made up. I'm going to be a lawyer.
Wow. So you had that exposure, which is like, very like that's awesome. Like I always tell kids, like you just don't, I mean not kids, women in general, like you never know how your kids are going to turn out, so it's very important that you try to expose them to as much as you can. That's why I try to involve my girls in my business so much, because you never know what is going to ignite them, like what if it's going to spark that passion inside of them, like how you were 5 years old at the courthouse, and that just something in you just ignited and it sparked you to say, like, I'm going to be a lawyer. So it's important that when we have kids that we expose them, we show them, we give them experiences, because you never know where that experience can take them in life. And now look at you, you this full-fledged lawyer now helping other people with their businesses and probably a list of other things just because of that exposure your dad gave you at 5 years old. So that's amazing.
Exactly. And the one thing, like, just being from Chicago, like, I always say, like, our kids, you know, the kids that's in the streets and things like that, they need more exposure to more than just Chicago or more than just their neighborhood. Because, you know, even with that, my mom, you know, she did a really good job sending me places when I was young, you know, like I went to Canada for like our 8th grade trip. We went to California, you know, my auntie lived in California, like, you know, I came to Atlanta, Florida, Disney, just places. And so even though I live, you know, like in a very impoverished area in Chicago, I was able to get out of that and see a lot of things, which also motivated me. You know, when I went to California, I was probably like 13 years old, and my uncle, who also lives in California, he like took us on Rodeo Drive to Beverly Hills Center, you know, and it's just like, so I can have more than what, you know, I'm living within, but I can have more, you know? So we do, the kids, they need that exposure so that they can see it's something bigger and better out there in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. That's amazing. So when you went to law school and obviously becoming a lawyer, did you find it challenging being a Black woman in law?
Oh my God. Like even in law school, but also not only in law school, but as a lawyer. Yes. Especially like now, I've been practicing now 6 years, and, they'll try it. And, you know, it'll just be individuals, and maybe it'll be like the opposing counsel, or usually it's the opposing counsel, or, you know, they'll just try certain things, and I know in the back of my mind that they will not be trying this if my color was different, and maybe if I was a man, you know. So what I have to always do is, you know, because knowledge is powerful, and let them know that I am very well informed and I know the law, and I need you to act like you know the law and stop playing games just because I'm a Black woman. Because At some point, it's really an assault on your intelligence, you know, because you can speak to me or you can treat me a certain way just because I'm this color, you know. And it was recently one of my clients, she has a really popular brand. It's a clothing brand. And it's a revolutionary brand. It's geared towards Black empowerment. And there's this retail store that's probably across the nation, and they, you know, have knocked off my client's brand. And the fact that it's first a very powerful brand for Black people, and these people are not even Black at all, but to knock her brand off and then devalue her brand and then try to act like she's not entitled to it, she owns the trademarks to it. It's just like, you know, if you are knocking off, you know, a Gucci or a, you know, Prada or a Chanel, like the conversation will be different just because, you know, you're dealing with the opposite color, you know? So it's just like, I need you to respect me first as a Black woman, and I need you to respect my clients. And eventually, after we, you know, we showed them that we're not playing and we know the law and the law is on our side, they got in compliance. But it's just like, they should have been in compliance in the first place because they were in the wrong, you know, just from counterfeiting and infringing on her brand. But sometimes, you know, we have extra challenges and we have extra steps or extra ground that we have to cover as Black professionals, Black entrepreneurs, you know, just Black people in America general, you know, so it,
it's
a lot. It does, unfortunately, but, you know, and that's what I love about being from Chicago, where I came from. I wouldn't change any of that because that helped shape me and mold me. And I know how to deal with people, you know, in a professional setting, but also to let them know, like, you're not just going to think you can do any and everything because you're dealing with a Black woman. Actually, we need you to do way better because you need to respect us just like you respect anybody else.
Wow. Yeah. And it's like, I know from my own experience, even with being a nurse, and it's a shame that, you know, we have to, like, I even tell my kids, like, sometimes you have to work that much harder because you are a Black person and you are a Black female. But I really try to preach to them that, yeah, you're a Black female, but you got Black girl magic. And we all have that Black girl magic, and it's special. And some people can't handle our magic. So they may find it intimidating, or they may try to challenge us. And but the thing is, like, no matter how hard you try to challenge us, no matter how hard you may try to put us down, like, we're still going to continue to rise because you just got to be that driven and determined to say, I'm not going to let nobody stop me. I'm not going to let any obstacle stop me just because of the color of my skin or because I'm a Black woman, because I know I'm special. So I'm sure that in the law, because it seems more corporate than, like, my nursing career, you probably had a lot more challenges. So I just wanted to kind of, like, just touch on that and see if, you know, if even if we have listeners that may be lawyers, that may be facing the same thing, like, hopefully that helped them and inspired them to just keep pushing forward. I just want to talk about and touch on the fact that I feel that you do a lot with Black women. And I think that you do a very good job of helping Black women, Black entrepreneurs getting their business in order, such as, like, trademarking, helping them with, like, the legal aspects of their business. But the thing is, and what I see is a lot of people don't even set up their legal structure because they don't understand it. I know for me, I had to Google everything because I definitely didn't understand it. But why do you feel that a lot of people don't understand that legal aspect of their business and don't really know where to start? Like, what's your opinion on that?
So I think what it is a lot of times is, especially for Black entrepreneurs, they feel as if legal services or legal support is so beyond their reach. It's inaccessible, you know, it's not affordable, and it's just like, it's beyond their reach. And it's so crazy because I thought I wanted to work for a big law firm out of school, leaving law school. And when I had my daughter, she was a baby. Like, I started studying for the bar. She was 3 months old, and I already had my older two kids. I think my son was 13. My daughter might have been seven or eight at the time. And I remember, like, since their birth to them growing up, I had worked and went to school. Like, I've been working and going to school since I was 14 years old. And so our day was like, you know, I would get up at 8 o'clock in the morning and leave out the house. And but what I realized was, while I was, when you take the bar exam, you have 2 months to do, like, absolutely nothing with your life, because you don't know if you fail, you pass, you don't know, like, what direction you're going in, basically.
Right.
And so what I realized is that, you know, I actually appreciated being at home when my kids came home from school. And I was like, oh my God, I really like being a mother, you know? And I was like, you know, I just invested all of this time in law school. Like, I said, there has to be a way that I can create this balance where I can do them both. And I knew I couldn't do it in a big law firm setting because of the demand that they put on your time. And so I was talking to one of my professors who specializes who helps people start their own law practice. And one thing he said, and this was a white man, and he told me, he said, you know, Ro, you will go a long way serving the underserved. And my dad wanted me to be a criminal lawyer. And I was like, no. And so instantly when he said that, I was like, I'm not being a criminal lawyer. I don't know who did it. I'm not going to be in that argument. And so the professor, he said it again, like, no, Rosina, listen. You will go a long way serving the underserved. I said, look, professor, I want to do trademark law. That's what I want to do. And he said, okay, so who in the industry needs trademarks that are underserved? And I sat and I thought and I said, small businesses? Mm-hmm. And he said, right, you will go a long way serving the underserved. And I was like, my God, you are so great. Because in that instant, I had a breakthrough moment because I was like, you're right. I can empower my people and, you know, educate them. And I feel like a lot of times we don't set the proper structure, the legal structures in the beginning because we just feel like it's not within our reach. And but the thing is, that's kind of doing it backwards if we don't. Like I always tell people, you don't want to put the cart before the horse because if you start to build a business, like I always ask people, will you build a house on land you don't own? And everyone always say the obvious answer, which is no. And so then I say, well, why are we building businesses and brands if we don't own them and we don't have a solid foundation? And so I just tell people, like, look, you have to make a way. As entrepreneurs, we have to be creative with, you know, like you said, if you have to Google, you know, what it is to figure it out, like you have to educate yourself, you know. Right. And if you feel like it's just something that you can't do, you know, maybe start like a fundraiser among you and your family and friends so that you can hire a lawyer who can do it for you.
Right. And that's great advice because, you know, even when people ask me in my mentorship program, did I trademark right away? And the answer is no, because I really didn't know. And I really didn't understand that. And thank God nobody took the name Mayel and tried to use it. But I really didn't have any protection. I started using the TM symbol, just to kind of like scare people away, but I didn't trademark until like 6 months later because I couldn't afford it. So do you feel that it's necessary for a small business to trademark right away? And if they say that, well, I can't afford it, like what is your advice for that?
Yeah, I do feel it's necessary. And, you know, because I'm a lawyer, I have seen worst case. So, and it's great that you were able to operate and you trademarked 6 months later. So that was good and no one else took the name, but it's very important only because it will be a very expensive cost if you don't trademark it in the beginning versus in the long run. And what I mean by that is, say you build your business. In March, I had so many people call me about trademarks, and most of them, one girl was in business since 2012, and she was calling me because she seen somebody was using her trademark in December, and she was like, you know, I think I'm ready to get started now. And I looked it up. It took me like a second to look it up. Someone, that same person she suspected was using her business, had started had filed the trademark January 9th, 2019. So that looks like is because she's been using the trademark, if she wants to even try to defend her name and fight for her name, now she has to file an opposition against that actual application. And now the burden is on her to prove that she's been using the trademark since 2012. But not only do you have to prove that you've been using it since 2012, you have to prove that you've been using it in a nationwide geographical reach in order to get that trademark application canceled. Because what the law says is that you can be using that trademark, say, in Chicago, right? And everybody know you in the Chicagoland area, but nobody knows you outside of Chicago. So therefore, this application still should be able to go through and proceed. And now that person can't come into Chicago and do business, but they can come into the state of Illinois and all the other states and do business. They just can't come within your reach. So to even try to hire a lawyer and to fight that and go through that process, mm-hmm. that process, that opposition process that I'm speaking of, it takes at least 2 years just to go through the proceeding altogether. Like if we file it today, we're going to get a court generated date that's going to go all the way out to 2021. Mm-hmm. So that's very expensive right there. Okay, but say even if you say, well, you know what, I'm not going to fight for the name, I'll just start over. But now you got to think about all the time you invested into that yeah. brand or that business, or all the resources you invested to that time in that business. And now that you're starting over from scratch, now you have to rebuild the relationship with your clients and your customers so that they can now get acclimated and be comfortable with this new brand that you're building. So that's what I say, like, so it is very important to do it up front, because if you don't, you can be involved in a very expensive situation down the line.
Right. So what about those that say, well, I can't afford to trademark, or I don't have the money to pay a lawyer to get a trademark?
Yeah, I would say you can either try to do it yourself, but that can be costly, because I have had mm-hmm. clients who had to come back and, you know, they did it themselves and they did it all wrong, or, you know, and so then they had to pay more anyway. So what I would say, okay, entrepreneurship and business, you have to be creative. I was just looking at something where a young lady is doing a conference and things like that. And her conference, I think, is only like $1,300 or something. And one young lady was posting saying that, you know, why are you charging so much for this conference? And, you know, we don't have this money and things like that. And I thought the conference was just a conference. It actually includes like the room, you know, that you're going to be staying in mm-hmm. for 3 days. But my thing is, as an entrepreneur, and I learned this as an entrepreneur, when it comes to financing, you're going to get into some positions as an entrepreneur where you have to get creative and you have to raise that financing, or else your business may make or break whether you are still in business, you mm-hmm. know, right. 2 or 3 days or so. So you, as entrepreneurs, we have to be resourceful. We have to, you know, be able to say, you know, I need to figure it out, whether you got to throw a sale to sell some product, you know, sell some extra products, you know, do like some extra coaching services or something. I say you have to fundraise, because only reason I say that, because I have seen the worst case scenarios, and they can get really bad. They can get really ugly. You know, I have had people who started businesses, started brands, and big companies take their brand name and go crazy. Mm-hmm. You yep. know, so it's like, yep. okay, so now I got to go fight this giant to get my name back. You know, so it's like, you don't want to be in that position, because the law recognizes the person who has the trademark on file. Like, you're going to have the legal recourse as the trademark owner. Like, the law is automatically going to kind of side with you, and then it will be on the burden of proof for the other person to prove that you're not the rightful owner. And you want to start from that place versus starting from the other place. And so, I mean, it's just very important. And I tell people, you know, because some people, the other question a lot of people ask, well, should I do a trademark first, or should I do an LLC first, or, you know, mm-hmm. incorporate my business first? And I always tell them, it depends. It depends on the type of business you have. The best and the absolute best way to do it is to do them simultaneously, to do them together at the mm-hmm. same time. But now, if you have a brick and mortar business where you have people walking in and out of your business on a daily basis, you need to have your LLC or your corporation set up the day you open your doors, because that's a liability right there with people walking in and out. You know, if you right, have products yeah. that are coming in contact with people's skin, hair, you know, anything like that, you need to have your business structure set up, because the business structure protects the individual, the person, you, from any legal liability that is to arise out of your business. But now, you want to also protect that name as well, because when you incorporate on, that's going to be on a state level, whether it's an LLC or corporation, but that doesn't give you rights to your name. And a lot of people think that, well, I have LLC, so I own a name. No, you do not. Or I own a domain name, so I own a name. No, you do not. Right. You only own the name when you file for trademark registration. Yep. And so, you know, I want people to be very clear on that. And what can happen is you can get a cease and desist letter if you're infringing on somebody's brand, and they're going to make you, or they'll tell you or demand that you change your business name from that, whatever that LLC or that corporation name is. So it's really important to try to do them together. But if you want to like have that first step out the door where you want to make sure the name is protected first, you can do a trademark application. You can do a trademark application even before you launch. It's called the intent to use application.
Correct. Yeah. So, I was going to say that.
Yeah.
Register to use it. So those are some really great points. Now, can you talk about like how can you, because like I said, I refer you to like a lot of my mentees, and you know, I'll repost and shout you out on Instagram because I know people need it. So can you talk to our listeners and just tell people how you can be of assistance to them to help them with trademarking right away, and especially if they may be on like a tight budget?
So we are really battling with this. So we used to offer payment plans, but we stopped offering them as of April 1st because people just wasn't staying committed for them. And as attorneys, we have special rules on how we are to handle people money when it's not earned upfront. You get what I'm saying? So we can't say your deposit is non-refundable or anything. So it was starting to throw off our books and balances if people didn't stay committed to their payment plans. So I want to help serve my community, right? I want to help serve my people. So I'm really struggling with this. And I have my team doing some research to see if it's like a third party that they can, you know, connect with who can, you know, pay for the trademark upfront, and then they do a payment plan with them if possible. But what I would say is we always try to be very educational on our Instagram page, because we try to meet our clients where they are. And most people are on Instagram, and they love Instagram. And so we try to make it very fun and knowledgeable and try to convey the information. You know, it's education, but in a very popular way so that they can relate and they can understand. I think we recently, you know, when we post about like Cardi B or Beyonce and things, people, they resonate more with that. So I would say just follow us on Instagram. My Instagram is TheBizLawyer, TheBizLawyer.com. Also, one thing we do too with our pricing, we include the filing fee within it. So when you come, like, once you pay for it upfront, that takes you to get the application on file. So it's nothing, you know, the fee is already included in there. So I would just say, follow us on Instagram. And, you know, if you guys have any questions for me, just send us a DM, or you can send us the email address. And also too, I do a lot of, workshops, and I do a lot of webinars too, or and so I try to do like free webinars just to give the education and things like that, and I also will do a master class here and there. So this month our theme is Marks of a Mogul. I'm actually developing a course to teach people how to do the trademarks themselves. Now, it is, you have to pay a price for it, but you will have this continuous knowledge if you need it. But we are doing a course, a master course, where it talks about marks of a mogul, because some of us are not only entrepreneurs, but we're moguls in the making, and we are trying to start multiple different brands, and we have all these different. So this course is geared for people who have like multiple different businesses, or maybe they have a business, but they have multiple different brands under the business. Like, for instance, with your hair care products, you may name, you know, certain ones, different things that you wouldn't want like your competitors naming their products. So So this is to teach you how to do your own trademark registration. Also, in August 30th, we're having, it's called the Trademark Soiree and celebration of our, we filed over 500 trademarks in our 6-year anniversary, which was May. Yeah. So we're going to celebrate that.
That's amazing.
I'm rarely the person that will throw myself a party or anything like that. And so my team was like, we need to celebrate. And I was like, okay, we're going to do a trademark soiree. And it's called, it's also known as the Entrepreneur's Prom. And so we're doing that August 30th in Atlanta. And then the next day, we're going to do a trademark incubator where we're going to sit with 20 entrepreneurs, moguls in the making, and I'll show them the process and I'll teach them the process and educate them on, you know, why this is important. Also, we'll go through like a work for hire agreement. A lot of us as entrepreneurs, we need to understand what a work for hire agreement is and why it should be important to us. And I'll just tell really quick to your listeners. So anytime we hire like a photographer to take pictures or a graphic designer to do our logos or, you know, hire like a manufacturer company to mix up products for us and produce, we need to make sure that they have signed a work for hire agreement to say that any work that they produce for us as entrepreneurs belong to us. Because copyright law says that any creator that creates anything, so like when your graphic designer creates your logo, he owns the copyright to it, unless you have him sign off in writing saying that he has transferred the rights to you. The photographer, he owns the rights within the pictures unless you have him sign off saying that, you know, he's transferring the rights to you. That's why you see these cases popping up where these photographers are suing like Khloe Kardashian or Jennifer Lopez for reposting a picture of themselves on Instagram. It's because the photographer took the picture and they own the copyrights, but I disagree with that, and I want to see how the law handles that, but most of them have been settling out of court, and the photographers know that. And so as entrepreneurs, we need to know that we are, when we hire, you know, developers to develop things for our businesses, we are owning that. That, I mean, any animator that's drawing anything for Disney, you best believe they're on a work for hire agreement because Disney owns anything that they produce or create. So that's something else that we're going to be talking about as well.
Wow. Okay. That's very like educational. And I didn't even know you had all that stuff going on. So like, I'm really proud of you for doing all that. That's great. So if we can just close out and you can just leave like one piece of advice for like the upcoming entrepreneur, like what would that advice be?
I would say you have to have a vision, but your why has to be bigger and stronger than the actual vision, because the why is what's going to wake you up without an alarm clock every morning. And it's going to keep pushing you closer and closer to that vision every day.
I always tell people like you have to chase your vision and your dream. Like you can't chase money because the money, everything is going to fall into place, but you have to have a bigger why and you have to do something that you're passionate about and follow your purpose. Because that's how you grow. You're not going to grow if you go into business saying, well, I just want to make some quick money. It's not going to work that way because you're going to quickly fall on your face. So that's some really great advice. And I just want to thank you so much for, like, again, taking the time out of your day to record this podcast. But this was really good information, and I'm sure that the listeners are going to feel that this was very valuable. So, again, I really appreciate it. And thank you again for taking the time out of your day.
And I just want to say thank you so much for thinking of me and choosing me to be a part of your podcast. I truly appreciate it. There's tons of lawyers out here, so I know you could have picked any one of them. So I appreciate you for even thinking of us and, you know, just sharing your platform with us. And we appreciate you as well.
No problem.
And congratulations to all the great things you are doing as well. So all that Black Girl Magic.
I appreciate it.
Yes.
But thank you so much. And you enjoy the rest of your day.
Okay. Take care.
Okay.
Have a great one.
You too. Bye-bye.
So there you guys have it. And I really hope that this was valuable and you learned a lot and you can take all of this information and apply it to your business. And if you are signed up for the Secret Sauce membership group, Rosina is actually going to teach a course tutorial on the legalities of protecting your business and going into further details about protecting your business, trademarking, and everything you need on the legal side of your business. Because remember, the foundation of your business is to have a good legal team and to have a good accounting team. So right now, the Secret Sauce membership group is closed, and I will be opening it back up probably in a couple of months. So if you are not a member, you can get on the waiting list to join the Secret Sauce membership group. And also the Secret Sauce Academy, which is my online 6-week digital mentorship course. Every week there is a video uploaded to teach you how to launch and scale your business and to take your business from point A to point B. So whether you have just an idea or you have a business but you feel like you are stuck, the Secret Sauce Academy will help you get unstuck and give you the tools and the motivation you need to continue pushing forward to your dreams and becoming the best CEO that you can be. I break down the sauce method. The sauce method is a method that I use to launch and scale My Yale Organics. Sauce stands for studying the market, having authority and knowing your audience, understanding your gift and your passion, clarifying your message, educating and empowering your audience. That is a method that I use, and I still follow this same method to continue to scale and to grow My Yale Organics. So I break down the steps and I teach you under each step how to launch and scale your business and how to keep the momentum going, because the principles of marketing don't change. I give you my roadmap to success because you're going to apply your own unique sauce to that method. Because at the end of the day, nobody's sauce can be duplicated, which is why I don't have a problem sharing, because nobody can duplicate and be me, and I can't duplicate anybody else. And I feel that there's room for everyone to grow. So whether you have whatever type of business you have, even if you have a hair care brand, you can still join the Secret Sauce Academy, because I don't care if you are considered competition. Again, you can be you and I can be me, and that's what matters, because there's room for everyone in this industry. So definitely stay tuned for the Secret Sauce Academy when enrollment opens back up. You can sign up for my newsletter at themoniquerodriguez.com to make sure you are the first to know when enrollment opens back up. So again, if you guys love this episode, make sure you take a screenshot, tag me, Exquisite Mo, and Rosina at The Biz Lawyer, and let us know how you enjoyed this episode. So again, you guys, I will talk to you guys next week, and thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Monique Rodriguez, The Secret Sauce to Success podcast show. Stay tuned for next week. I will talk to you guys later.